Sound Words Tape Ministry, Queensland. The following is a selection of interviews with personnel on board the MV Lobos Operation Mobilisation when visiting Sydney in September 1979. I'm sure you'll be encouraged as you listen to the testimonies and how God called these workers, servants of His, to serve aboard the MV Lobos. We have a
This is Ari from Holland. Just tell us here, what do you do on the ship? What's your main function or responsibility on the ship, Lobos?
In the 8 hours that I'm working every day, I'm supposed to do the audiovisual work, which means working with tape recorders, like this gentleman here, and working with video tapes, video recording, providing sound systems for meetings and concerts and so on.
Does that keep you constantly on the go?
It keeps me on the go 25 hours a day.
Yeah. And have you got an assistant?
Yes, Peter Haumann from Germany. He is the second man in the control room.
Do you find it very demanding?
It's a demanding job, yeah. But it's not hopeless.
Yeah. But by the same token, without the sound system such as you had on the wharf yesterday, the main ministry wouldn't really function as well because you couldn't hear the speakers.
Of course,
a very necessary job.
It's a necessary job, just like preparing food is a very necessary job.
Another thing. Good. Ari, would you like to tell us how you come to know the Lord, very briefly?
Well, I actually was studying for physics engineer in Holland, and during that period, I started to realize more and more that I basically was working very hard, but I was working very hard actually without knowing why.
Yeah.
And so I started to think about the use of life, what I'm doing, why am I actually sitting here where I'm on this planet. And I couldn't find the answer. I always talked with many friends and so on about this subject. But later I came to know someone who is a Christian, and he said, well, the Bible is the answer. And I said, well, you know, the Bible is a religious book, has nothing to say, has nothing sensible to say. So just don't talk about that subject. And but asked his questions anyway, and he gave answers that were from the Bible, but he didn't say that they were from the Bible.
Yeah.
So I said, well, where do you have all this wisdom from? You see? And he said, see, it's in the Bible. I thought, well, because I always thought the Bible was a very religious book without any practical use. But after that I realized that I needed Christ, and that the whole emptiness in my life was caused by me not achieving enough, but just by the fact that I had no relationship with the living God. So I realized that, or Christ really showed to me, the Bible showed to me, that Christ had died for my sins, and because of my sins I was separated from God. So I realized that Christ had paid this penalty, being that we don't have contact with God, and so He took this penalty away, and so we can have a living relationship with Christ. And of course, as a Christian, I first had Christ as a Savior, which was all very nice, but not for long. It went down again. And then I realized He doesn't only want to be my Savior, He also wants to be my Lord. Because if He wants to work in the world, He wants to work through men, fallible men, but fallible men, obeying God, not obeying God because He wants to have a bunch of robots walking around, but because God is good and wants us to do good also. We can only know what is good if God tells us, and He tells us through the Holy Spirit and through the Bible.
What do you mean when you say to know Christ as Savior is one thing, but to know Him as Lord, what do you mean by that?
Well, you can be saved and still live a life like you always lived before. You basically have the same unfulfilled life, but you're now saved, so you will go to heaven. That's basically not a problem. But the point is, if you want to live a life that's useful for God, see, then you live by faith. You're saved by faith, but you live by faith. So to live by faith means that I trust upon God in all my activities. See, if I just would do what I like, I probably would work against God's plan for the world very often. So if I obey Him, I know that I work in His plan.
Yeah.
And that is, of course, having Him as Lord. He commands me, and I know because He's good that it's the best thing I can do.
Good. Now, how did you come to be on Lobos? What would you say inspired you to come on the Lobos?
Well, I had never heard of the Lobos, but I lived in a town where the ship came, and I had been praying over going to Israel, actually, as a missionary. But it somehow did not go through, or was in the process of the Lord saying no. And actually, it was during the period that the ship came in the town I was living in. And I didn't want to visit it really because I thought it was a kind of holiday cruise for Christians. But I visited the ship and I realized immediately that something was different about these people here. And they said, well, there are some Dutch people on the ship. And so, well, I went up and I actually met there an old schoolmate who was working in the electronics room. I didn't know him really, I just recognized him from the past and said, hey, what are you doing here? And he, of course, said, what are you doing here? And that was actually the beginning that I got slowly the idea that the Lord perhaps wanted me to be there. I actually made a specific demand. I prayed, well, Lord, just let somebody ask me to go there. And Monday went and Tuesday went and nothing happened. So it was Wednesday. And I said, in the morning, Lord, today. If you don't ask today, I don't go. You see, then I know for sure. So it was the whole day went, and some people of the ship came in the evening, having a cup of real Dutch coffee, of course. And it was actually 11:30 when they went, and they went, and I thought, well, this is it, huh? No go. And my flatmate, who we live there because rents are very high, so he's also a Christian. He brought them back to the ship and he came back. And at 11:55 he said, oh yeah, they had forgotten something to ask. You know, why don't you come on the ship? I said, well, that is 5 minutes, the deadline. It was very close, but in any case, it was true. And then, of course, I claimed the Bible and said, well, for those who do my will, everything works together for good. And I really prayed, well, Lord, no obstacles in the way then for me to go. I could give up my job in 5 minutes, or 5 minutes in there. I was only working on a day's notice by accident. I never realized it, nor did my boss. And I went to the tax office and they said, oh. I said, yeah, I'm joining the Logos. Oh, Logos, we sorted all out for you, you know. You just go 5 minutes at the tax office. And so on, and all the problems. In 8 hours, the door was totally open for me to go.
How long have you been on the Logos?
At the moment, 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Did you do any of the land work with OM, Operation Mobilization?
Actually not. No. Well, we were in the summer campaign in Europe, where we do evangelism in groups, teams of 16 people. So I was a month on the land team.
Right.
But really the long-term team I did not do because I'm a professional person on the ship, so they really want to keep me here where I can do the work where they like people for.
Yeah. Well, naturally your work is, I feel, very necessary, as you say, just as much as the cooking, but it's still essential, well, even with us with recorders and cassettes, the like of this interview or this chat with you can be used again and again. And there's people like yourself that is needed, just as much those who go on the land with distribution or preaching or teaching. Do you go ashore and take meetings when they come ashore?
Well, if I'm off, then I'm basically available, although my ministry is not really preaching, it's more teaching.
More
so
teaching.
I have 2 volunteers and so on. This week I gave 2 hours of talk on Christian philosophy. So.
Tremendous. Is there any special teaching books you would recommend growing believers to get the hold of?
Yes, I would say that Power Through Prayer, True Discipleship, especially the tapes of George Berger, I think they really give you a more realistic view. Often I noticed, even in my church, which was a very good church really on teaching, that the realism of the world around us often is lacking and we don't really know what's going on. And I think it's been very good to have a book like Operation World, where you can see how the world is, in which state, spiritual state the world is. Also, and then have these books on discipleship, or these tapes on discipleship.
You mentioned your church. Out of interest, what church is that?
That's a Baptist church.
Baptist church.
Yeah.
Tremendous.